Hi, this is John Barber from IDW Publishing. You are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello, and welcome to the pull bag. This is episode 407. New record. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as always, Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello, and we are back for Autobotly April to talk about Transformers Volume 3, All Fall Down. This is from the new universe that IDW has going currently. And, what a collection Volume 3 is. Holy shnikes. So Volume 3 includes the Rise of the Decepticons arc, which was issues 19 to 24, Wheeljack, Orbital Decay, Gauging the Truth, and Storm Horizon. Gauging the Truth and Storm Horizon were the Galaxies stories, the final two stories in the Galaxies line. I kind of like, and I mentioned this in the last podcast we did, I kind of like that IDW is doing this, that basically throwing it all in together, but at the same time, I wish it was just the actual main arc and these other things were in other trades by themselves, but it is what it is. The only reason why I really wish that, besides the fact having to read over 200 pages, is that these trades are now $25 a pop.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's painful.
Yeah.
I mean, but how many issues are actually in them, though?
19 to 24, Orbital Decay... That's three parts. It's close to, I want to say, at least 10 now.
10 issues?
I think. I could be wrong. Hold on. Let me look.
Because if that's the case, I mean, it's still cheaper in a sense, like, than buying them individually. Because you talk $4 a pop, typically, like at retail.
Yeah. Yeah, it's over, well, you know, 7 to 12, that's 5 issues, isn't it? I don't know, the math, it's crazy. Oh, now it says it's $17.99, but still, you know, it is what it is, and, you know, we're not here to complain about prices, we're here to just talk about the creative stuff. The fourth trade is on pre-order, that is $25. The fourth volume, and I will go over that at the end of the show. But Volume 3, All Fall Down, has Shockwave and Soundwave on the cover. What do you think of the cover?
I honestly don't mind it. I like the, I mean, it, honestly, I love any time I see like bots for one, but
true.
The Bumblebee one specifically, like, I'm not a big fan of the design of what they have for Bumblebee, but like, I like the glossy metallic look that they give him, which they've done a lot of that in this series, and it kind of is reminiscent of some older stuff, but I like that aesthetic.
Yeah. Yep. So just to get this out of the way, the creative Brian Ruckley is on Rise of the Decepticons and Wheeljack Orbital Decay. Sam Maggs is the writer on Gauging the Truth, and Brandon Easton is on Storm Horizon. Brandon Easton also wrote some of the War for Cybertron trilogy animated series on Netflix as well. Anna Malkova with Billy Montford and Blackie Shepherd are on art and And Joanna LaFuente is on colors for Rise of the Decepticons. Additional colors done by John Paul Beauvais. For Wheeljack Decay, Beth McGuire Smith is the full artist. For Gauging the Truth, Beth McGuire Smith and Leamy Mayo with Josh Burcham on colors. Yay, Josh! And then Stormbringer, Storm Horizon, as I said, is Brandon Easton with Andrew Griffith on art and Josh Burcham on colors. Oh boy, this is a lot to unpack. Yeah, the cover for Bumblebee for issue 19, like, oh, Target Bumblebee, great. I actually had to go back to the end of the previous trade because I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Even though we just recorded that episode last week, or it just released last week as of this recording kind of thing. And yeah, I mean, Megatron's getting ready to rise.
That he is.
I love Soundwave in this.
Yeah, Soundwave... I'm starting to get, like, in this particular issue, I'm getting vibes from the Marvel Comics universe.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways, Megatron was calling the shots, but then... but then there was... like Soundwave was running some of his machinations. Shockwave was running some. Ratbat was running some. So, I mean, in a lot of ways, I'm getting a lot of those vibes from this comic.
Yeah. And I'm sure they probably took inspiration from that, obviously. And apparently somebody found out that Bumblebee's a spy, and they've basically just cut ties with him. So Bumblebee the Decepticon is no more. I mean, he doesn't die, thankfully, but, you know, it is what it is. It's just weird seeing a giant purple Decepticon logo on Bumblebee's yellow chest. We have Optimus Prime and Sentinel Prime. Man, I miss animated.
I don't. Don't. I didn't. I enjoyed it for what it was at the time. I don't miss it.
You know, they're arguing about the politics and about all this and all that, and trying. You know, Optimus is, or Orion or whatever. He's not Optimus yet because he doesn't have the Matrix. But
Orionimus Prime.
Yeah, Orionimus Pax Prime Primatronius or whatever. So there's that. We go back to Bumblebee. He narrowly escapes getting killed. And then we're taken to these new teams that they're putting together. And again, like I said last time, even though I'm not the biggest fan of Springer, I don't mind this version of Springer much because he's
given something to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I still don't understand, and I'm still curious as to why, like, are all of these people, bots, whatever you want to call them, all of these people that are signed up to do this duty, like, none of them have Autobot symbols on them. Like, are they just regular Cybertronian citizens that are volunteering here? I assume so, but you would think that they would have... an Autobot symbol. I don't know. It's just weird.
I think they don't get those till later. To be honest.
Probably. Hey, this is the first time we're both reading this, so I don't know. And, Bumblebee punches a kitten in the face. I mean, the cat bit him, but still.
Scruff McGruff took a bite out of crime.
Yep. I love the colors. I love the lines. The action is great. I really dig most of Megatron's scenes because Megatron's scenes are kind of the best scenes, as they should be.
I love the lighting that they do. For instance, when Shockwave shows up, and he's in his repair chair.
Yeah.
And it looks like his hand is being like regenerated. Because there's like skeletal mass and like a blob around it.
Well, yeah, because remember the last episode?
I remember that.
Yeah, so.
Well, and then I love how on the table there's, like, different alternate hands.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So he switches them out. It almost reminds me of Krang.
Yep.
In his robot body.
Absolutely. That's the first thing I thought of, too.
He's got a claw. He's got something else. He's got a hand, and then he's got his blaster.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's funny when Six Shot comes in and lets him know what's going down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mind wipe, but no.
Yeah, and that's how we leave off this first chapter of Rise of the Decepticons. And in issue 20, we get Nightbeat and Mind Wipe on the cover. That is a cool cover. I like that. With Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Go ahead, what?
I was going to say Cybertron's Most Wanted.
Yeah, exactly, right? And we have Andromeda. She's the news lady. She's the hype lady for the news broadcast. And apparently Prowl is watching this, and Nightbeat walks in on him doing that.
Welcome to Cybertron's Most Wanted. Today we're looking for Shockwave, Sixshot, Frenzy, Quake, Barricade, Skystalker.
Yep. And, yeah. And
Cliff Jumper is the host.
I don't think Cliff Jumper is that slimy, because most of those TV show, like, you know, the Maury Povich's of the world.
They used to be that bad.
I don't know.
You had John Walsh. He was all right.
Well, yeah, no. Yeah.
It was everybody after him that's tried to host it.
Elizabeth Vargas is doing it now.
Yeah.
It's on Hulu. I'm like, should I even try to watch one of these episodes? I don't know if I want to. So we get a conversation between Prowl and Nightbeat. We then cut to Hound, and he's trying to make peace, and then Sideswipe comes in and ruins everything. Because that's what Sideswipe does.
Well, Hound is apologizing, you know, like, this should have never happened, we're sorry.
Right.
You know, and Sideswipe's just, he's basically combat and pretty oblivious to everything else. And he's like, you idiot. Like,
yeah, he's very combat antsy.
Yeah, and Hound is kind of like, I love planets, I love life. Like, I like to,
mm-hmm.
even in G1, he's kind of like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then his statement, you know, don't try to force it and don't try to be someone you're not.
Yep. And then we get to
interrogation mode.
Yeah. And then Swindles. Oh, Lord. Swindles. Jeez. This is crazy. I love it, but it's crazy. And we have all these bots that we don't know anything about, which is fine, which is great. You need to introduce new characters, you need to introduce young bots and whatever. I just love that Swindle is at the center of all of this here in this issue. That was cool. The I don't know if the cliffhanger for this issue was as good as the one as last issue, though.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, it's Sixshot, you know, going into the bay here with Frenzy or Rumble or whoever and the other bot kind of thing. And that's the other thing about this is they've explicitly stated now in the IDW verse, Rumble is red, Frenzy is blue.
Would have been better just to have one purple and one blue. Well,
I know, right? You know.
They're interchangeable. They can just do what they want.
Yep. And we get to the next issue. I love that cover there. That cover is really cool with all the bots on it for issue 21.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. And is that who I think it is? Sure is. Leviathan, are you okay? No! Ground opened. I fell. Been here since dawn. Comms damaged. Okay, then. So they gotta get help for him. And Windblade runs into Bumblebee, and she's like, that ugly thing doesn't suit you. Talking about the Decepticon symbol.
This is totally agree. Hoist says he'll scour it off when he has time.
Yep. I love this holographic image of Megatron, though.
Kind of reminds me of something Beast Wars, Beast Machines Megatron would do.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I could see Beast Wars Megatron saying a lot of this, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Yeah. You got Orion.
Look at what they've brought you with all your sacrifices, your silence, your patience, all their promises, orders of peace, all of it, dust and debris.
Yes. And we get Windblade and Bumblebee standing there, and then Orion shows up, or he's in a different part of the thing, and we get a thing with him and Chromia, and then he says, I think you will get your fight. Sentinel Prime means to convene the full Senate without the Decepticons. He wants Soundwave condemned even in his absence, the Decepticons outlawed. Oh Lord. Yeah, they are very interchangeable. I'm looking at Frenzy and Rumble right now. It's like, I mean, the one who is supposed to be Frenzy, the blue one, he does kind of look purple in his chest and in his head, and he has like an aqua blue on his arms, but I don't know.
They should have just reversed it for the other one.
Yeah.
Would have made it so much easier.
Yep. But it is what it is. Oh, well. So, Leviathan wants search and rescue, and Beachcomber and the other bots are just going to drive away, apparently. That's not cool. One of the Decepticons has some blasting to do, and the Autobots are like, one of them flew off into the sun. I can't exactly see anything anymore. Oh, Trigger no. Happy. Trigger Happy. Of course it was Trigger Happy. Beachcomber, Nose Cone. So much action in this, which is great. I love seeing Springer in action in this. This is so cool. Is that now that? Yeah, that is a smokescreen. Very cool. Very G1 colors. Very different kind of car, but very G1 colors for smokescreen.
The things with all the creatures showing up is just weird.
Yeah, it is. I'm like, get your Beast Wars out of my G1. No, I'm not like that, but I know. Heaven forbid we start an argument. And Smokescreen offers cover for Frenzy transforms and basically goes... Over. Yeah, he gets run over. Crunch. And then he transforms again, and it's like, well, apparently that didn't hurt him at all.
He's holding his chest like,
Yeah, that's true. He is. Yikes. So they're bringing the tank to them, and oh look, a net, a really small looking net when it fires out of the gun. Maybe it's going to expand more.
Let me see Blaster.
Yay, Blaster! Yay. Good old Red Box.
Then it looks like Depth Charge behind him.
Yeah, it does. Next to him, yep. That would be... Yeah, hey! That is Depth Charge, I think.
It would be weird if it was.
It'd be weird if it was, but it would be cool, too.
I think it's funny that they got a character called Red Box.
Well, that's Blaster.
Oh, that's what they call him?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Come on, I've told you not to call me that, but fly well, friends. Our thoughts go with you. We'll try and keep them safe, Red Box. Yeah. We get Windblade and Six Shot, and away we go. Heads up, Six Shot is inbound, and boy, does he make an impression. I love how they use all of his modes. I kind of love how the winged cat or whatever he's supposed to be is kind of like the last mode. And it's got Rumble and Frenzy next to him or behind him. I love that shot. That's cool. And then you got Smokescreen and Springer and whoever the other bot is, that Nova Star. Or whoever it is. On the field. I really dig that. I think that's great. And then Leviathan decides to say enough, and that's where we end this one. And man, these issues run fast.
Yeah, a lot faster than some of the other ones.
Yeah. I mean, most of this issue was a battle, which is great. I mean, it's not great for, you know, furthering the story, but I mean, you kind of get a further story with the battle and how all of this is going down, which is kind of cool. I like that. Again, I love the art. I think the art's great. The colors pop on all of the bots and cons and things like that, and the way the backgrounds are drawn, I really dig that as well. Getting into issue 22, we start out with Sad Bumblebee.
Mopey Bee.
He's in a cell. And, yeah. We go back to the battle, and Six Shot is basically destroying everybody. And, with homing missiles, no less. And Springer's like, "Homers!" And I'm like, "What? Where's the Simpsons?" I know.
And then Winged Blade tries to decapitate.
Yep.
And then he grabs her.
Yes, he does grab her. Oh boy, right by the throat. Oh, I don't think she was trying to decapitate him. With the way that Windblade's sword is, it looks like she was going to drive her sword right down into his head. So, yeah. Rumble and Frenzy show up with the tank dude again, and more battle.
Dismount.
Right, yeah.
Squash.
Yep. And then Leviathan comes in and tries his best. And of course, because the odds are shifting, Six Shot is going to cut his losses, which he only takes Rumble and Frenzy with him. I love that shot, though. The Varouche with him transformed with Rumble and Frenzy on each of his wings. That's cool.
Yeah, Leviathan, that's something new.
Yeah, and I'm okay with it. I think I thought I thought it was funny. Like, wait, no, don't leave me here. And they're like, "Can you transform?" I don't want to transform. Whatever it was that he said, I don't want to transform. Well, he eventually had to transform anyway. So we get a scene with Andromeda and one of her biggest fans, Vox Pop. And it's this giant political thing that we're just going to skip.
Well, it's funny that they're talking about spark extinction.
Yeah. Where's your extractor now?
Starscream standing at Sentinel's side.
Yes, yes, he is. I'm wondering when he's going to flip.
Oh, he's on their side. He's just playing.
Yeah. I do love seeing Orion and Ironhide. I think that's really cool. That's fun.
And then he's telling him that he's learning all the wrong things.
Yes, he is. They get a message from Nautica. Yeah. Well, now one of the things going on is that Road Rage and I have lost track of the Voyne Asserter. It's eluded us. Prime says, "Find it, Nautica. I will have Chromia and Ironhide make their teams aware." I just feel like there is so much going on in this comic. It isn't even that it's a full trade paperback with over 5 issues in it. There's just so much going on that at times I feel lost with, like, the battles I get, the side, the whole thing about Megatron wanting to, you know, do what he does, I understand, but, like, there's just so much going on at times, and I'm like, wait a minute, what? I don't know, maybe I just can't focus on things as I used to be able to. So they have this demonstration, and at some point, they're like, Quake, secure Quake, or else, because he's gonna... Wow. He's gonna escape.
They should have taken him out when they had the chance.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And then the animals show up. I'm like, wait, what? Alrighty then. That's not a... Oof. Yikes. Weird battle there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, folks. We're not... We're up to this, but we're not up to this. Because, honestly, I'm not, like... Okay, so we often complain about Transformers talking too slowly in Netflix, but, like... In these last few issues, there's more battles going on and more action than there is actual talking, which is great. I mean, you need a solid balance of both. But it's like, I just want to figure out where the story is going. And I just can't. We end this issue with...
a decapitation.
Yep, pretty
and
much.
And a spark extraction.
Yep.
And then an arrest.
And Bumblebee is under arrest. I do love issue 23's cover.
I gotta say this, though. I've enjoyed Bumblebee. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the original rendition in G1 for his optimism, mm-hmm. but I also enjoy the more gung-ho version that we've gotten in the War for Cybertron and the comic universe, as opposed right. to what we've gotten in animated series over the last several years.
Yeah.
So,
because again, most of the cartoons, they don't know how to portray him. Not War for Cybertron.
He's kind of useless.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's there to, you know, oh, I'm here for your support, Prime. But other than that, he doesn't do anything. Like,
yeah.
he's kind of just one of those ones that they toss dialogue to, and he's kind of the scout. But other than that, he doesn't really have a purpose.
Yeah, which
whereas
sucks.
Here, they've given him more of like Rat Trap's role in a sense,
mm-hmm.
which yep. fits him.
Oh, absolutely, it does. Yeah, yeah. I absolutely enjoy it. I do enjoy the comic. I did enjoy reading the comic. I just feel overstimulated or something with how much has gone on. Like yeah. we're up to issue 23 out of this arc, so this is the second to last. This is the penultimate part of this arc with Megatron on the cover here by Joanna LaFuente. I love that cover. But I just feel like there is so much. Even if we were doing this month to month single issue, and maybe we need to go back to that and stop doing trades for Transformers. Maybe we'll feel better, like how we're doing the Beast Wars stuff, and we're anticipating the next one, kind of thing. But reading this again today, I was like, "Oh my God, there's so much here," and I have no. Apparently I'm the worst podcaster in the world because I have no idea how to discuss it. We open issue 23 with Ironhide. This could be rough. I do love the shift list behind him with Pipes and Groove and Backstreet. Where are the boys? I do love seeing all their names on the list. I think that's really cool. And he says, half of Cybertron thinks the Senate Guard is a junkyard for old bots, weird bots, and we're proving them wrong. We do our job starting now. And somebody says, wait, half of Cybertron thinks what? Ironhide's making that up, right? Exaggerating for motivational effect. You should get out more, Subsea. Plug yourself into the talk on the streets. Yeah, and maybe try having a bestial mold like me and Chain Claw. You get used to half of Cybertron looking down on you. That's crazy. We get to more of Andromeda and Vox Pop, and then Prowl just comes right into it and like, can you report on something else, please? I thought that was hilarious.
Stop interviewing that idiot.
Can you interview somebody else, please?
He's an Energon sink who always is angry and but doesn't know why or what to do about it.
And we got to be careful here, and I'm kind of glad that Bumblebee has a Decepticon symbol on him, because we get introduced to Bumper, who is a black and yellow copycat of Bumblebee. I want to say he's the one that says, I don't know, Prowl, this is way bigger crowd than we expected, isn't it? Shouldn't there be more of us? So that's who Bumper is. And
Rise of the Decepticons.
We have deceived you. Yeah, so Megatron's speech is about to happen. And he goes up to Orion and Ironhide. I hope you have some room for some uninvited guests. I hear matters may be under discussion that affect our interests. I do love seeing them together. I think the couple panels coming up here. Your supporters are saying dangerous and misguided things. Such things can be said in support of causes that are neither. They do not invalidate the cause. I just love seeing the two of them together, especially with how the art is drawn and how they are drawn. Very, very cool. So yeah, Megatron goes into the Senate and says, that is still our way, is it not? The accused have the right to face the and answer the accusers? Oh boy, there's Starscream. Oh wait, oh, Starscream's back at the jail with Bumblebee. And why is it always that Starscream's... I get it, it's part of his transformation. Why is it always they have to accentuate his feet with his boosters as the heel, as if he's wearing heels? As he's walking away from Bumblebee, he says, I mean, it makes sense that the head of intelligence should visit you. You've been doing some interesting things. Like, the whole image is of his feet and walking away, and it looks like he's wearing ladies' shoes. He does. Oh,
those boots are made for walking.
That's right.
I'm old.
I'm older.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, uh-huh. I know, you know. We go back to Megatron, and I like what he's saying. I think it's interesting. And I kind of can't wait to see where it goes. And I do love the line, Sentinel Prime, what have you call us Decepticons? He thinks it's some slur or slight. He is wrong. We are the Decepticons, for we have deceived you. I think that should have been the end of the issue, but that wouldn't
should have been.
It wouldn't have worked out well, because if it was, because, you know, he goes on to say the rest of his speech, and then he's basically like, now, we need to, you know, order 66 now, kind of thing, and all of these events happen where everybody turns on everybody, and everybody is going crazy, and holy crap. And what we haven't mentioned yet is that they reformed the Rainmakers. So we have Acid Storm, Nova Storm, and Ion Storm, which is really cool. I love seeing the Rainmakers used. Super fun.
And then Megatron basically tells the Senate off.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah.
And then Ape Face and yeah, all the baddies are taking out the guards.
Yep, because you got to take out the guards in order to get to the people.
And then Prime's seeing the acid.
Yep. Yeah, that's like at first I thought somebody shot Orion. When the first drip of acid falls on him, I was like, wait a minute, did somebody shoot him? No, that's acid rain. Oh, boy. Again, love the colors, love the art, love the designs of the robots. I think they're super cool. I think they're super fun.
And then Ion Storm was badly damaged.
Yes, he was.
I think it's funny Strike has become a part of the old guard of Decepticons and eventually becomes a Viacon.
Yeah. I mean, I like that, though. I think that's cool because it gives her, you know, you know, if you go back and you watch Beast Machines and they say, oh, they were old generals from, you know, the past kind of thing. Not that this is tied into that, obviously, but this kind of makes me think of, oh, this is their past, even though we don't see Obsidian yet. Or I don't know if we ever will. But seeing Strika here and having her as a character, I really enjoyed. And that's Rise of the Decepticons, issues 19 to 23. Up next, we have issue 24, Wheeljack, Orbital Decay.
It's a little bit different aesthetic.
Yeah, it's a different artist, I believe, from what I remember from what I said earlier in the episode of the podcast. So we have Wheeljack and Cosmos and Gears. Oh my god, it's basically all the...
And Huffer, it looks like.
Yeah, Huffer. I just don't know who the one is. Lancer is the one in between Huffer and Cosmos. But I'm like, hey, this is G1 in space. This is season 1 bots with season 3 story. Colors are great.
A lot of vibrant colors. I like where there's some of the scenes where they're doing the panels of kind of flashbacky.
Yeah, the flashbacks in this are really fun. And I love how they're basically, you know, trying to save the moon here. And they have to do it in a certain time limit. So many colors in this, though. It's so nice and so rich, and even though they're in space, it's like, you know, this I don't want to say pastel, but it's like this pastel explosion of color, and they're just everywhere. Dark greens, light purples, dark purples. Sometimes there's a couple of scenes where Wheeljack even looks green, even though he's not on his face, but there's one scene where he kind of looks like he's green. Cosmos and Gears actually get stuff to do, which is nice. And Gears is like, all I want to be is good at something. And you, Gears, we all have that potential. But this, I want to be good at this. I want to be good at what you do. Well, Gears, you know, not everybody can do what Wheeljack does.
Yeah, and then Wheeljack's kind of trying to do everything he can, and one of the people have lost hope, and
yep,
he has not.
Nope. And Wheeljack has three ideas to save the moon, and the first two don't work at all. And his third idea of using the spaceship to blow up works, I think, sort of. Not really, but kinda. Again, I love the conversation back and forth between Gears and Huffer. I think that's fun. I love the fact that that Wheeljack goes outside to kind of catch his breath and kind of see that they actually did save the moon. They had to destroy half of it to save the other half, but still, it's
and then three four Decepticons and many more stealing the moon.
Yep.
Astro Train's in the background.
Yes, he is. Astro Train's always in the background. Makes me so mad.
Well, and the one bad guy there, he's got like the head of the Blitzwing from Animated.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I love when the artist can slip in designs like that. I think that's really cool. And so that's Orbital Decay. I enjoyed it.
Another one.
Yes, we go into another one. We have two more storylines to talk about, folks, and I know people are just, you know, stunned in awesomeness of how great this podcast is, because it really isn't. I have to say, I do not want to go through all of Gauging the Truth, because
it didn't resonate with me very much.
It didn't resonate with me hardly at all. There are three parts to it. I love the designs. I love the colors. I love the art. The writing on it, I was not thrilled with the story. The story didn't actually even captivate me. Come to find out, Gage, who is this young Cybertronian or Autobot or whatever you want to call her, she had her memory screwed up. I do love that they bring in RC and Greenlight. I think that's cool. And they eventually, you know, become a trio. But, I mean, overall, the story was just way too much. It feels like I'm reading a Transformers version of what you would see, whatever cult it is, on some true crime TV show. Like if America's Most Wanted is featuring David Koresh or something. That's really what this felt like to me, and it did not keep my attention really at all. I just didn't like the story. Visuals amazing, absolutely amazing, but the story itself, not so much. Now, the last story, Storm Horizon, that was a story. Holy crap. Ultra Magnus and Sound Blaster. And supposedly this is supposed to tie into War for Cybertron? Kind of, sort of. I thought that's what Brandon Easton had said at some point, or something. I thought I heard him say that in an interview. I could be wrong. It's like he was writing the Ultra Magnus part of the arc in Siege, and somebody said something about that because he was doing that, he was also doing this, and he was, I don't know, I could be wrong, I don't want to put words into the guy's mouth, but that's what I thought I heard him say on an interview with the Transmissions podcast a few months ago, or a while ago now at this point. But basically, Ultra Magnus is on this one mission, and then he gets distracted because he has to go find his friend, Alpha Trion. I love this. I think the writing is amazing. I think the art is really good. The story kept my attention. I especially love the panel, threat neutralized, and he has a sword in somebody's head. That's
I think it's funny awesome. Megatron's working with him.
Yeah, that is kind of funny, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, I believe that was in the past, though. That's the... I could be wrong, though, but...
It was. But,
yeah, yeah. Well, then that was in the past. That was before what... Because we actually see an image in this three-parter of what Megatron is doing and saying, which is the speech we saw earlier in the Rise of the Decepticons arc, and it kind of ties everything together, which I think is really cool.
So well, then you get Chrome Dome helping Magnus, and they're looking mm-hmm. for Alpha Trion, and...
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah, I really dug it. I thought it was great. I thought it was really fun. Again, the art is really, really good, and Magnus has always been one of these bots that has really good features to accentuate in art, and like...
Well, that's because he has a face.
True. He don't need no plate.
You don't need no stinking face plate.
And I couldn't decide if I heard in my head Robert Stack or Jack Angel as I was reading this for the voice of Magnus. Because Jack Angel voiced him in season 3, and obviously Robert Stack, may the man rest in peace, voiced him in the movie. Yeah, no, I really dig it. I think it's fun. I think it's interesting. I think it's cool that you have set up Sinistar or Sinister. I really want to call the bot Spinster, but it's Spinister. Like him being the foil for Magnus and all of that. And I think that's cool that you don't necessarily have to have Magnus versus Megatron or Magnus versus Starscream or hell, even Magnus versus Cyclonus, even though I would love to see that. And then, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, it's really weird some of what's going down in the mm-hmm. the Decepticon that was exiled. Well, yeah. Not quite Decepticon, but yeah. Yeah. And dealing with Magnus in that situation.
Yeah.
And he calls him the great soldier hero from the last great war. Which makes you think that there was another one before the war.
Yeah, you'd think, right? I mean, World War I comes before World War II, you know, that kind of thing, but I don't know. I just really enjoyed this. I love the backgrounds, and Brandon's writing and how, like, literally, everything that Magnus is saying, even when he eventually says to Spinistar, or Spinister, you know, call me General Magnus. Like, the whole thing, throughout the whole thing, he's saying to his own people, it's just Magnus or Ultra Magnus. You know, you can dispense with the general stuff, but when it comes to the villain and the respect, it's like, you will call me General. I love that. I think Brandon really captured the voice of Ultra Magnus in this, and the art is just killer.
And then it takes like a flashback.
Yep.
With Alpha Trion and Ultra Magnus.
Yep. So very cool. Yeah, I don't mind flashbacks when they're done well, and I think this one was done well to, you know, explain the story and explain why he is so gung-ho about finding Alpha Trion. And hey, Sound Blaster, too. That was interesting. Sound Blaster was with Trion. What would you, what are your final thoughts on this whole thing?
I prefer the one with the Rise of the Decepticons the most, just because there was more going on. I liked the color palette. I liked the storyline the most. I would put the Magnus one kind of second, just because you get a little bit more backstory on him. And Alpha Trion. But then as far as the other one, I just didn't care for that one at all.
I would say Rise of the Decepticons is my favorite part of the arc for the main ongoing so far. The Magnus one-shots are great. Wheeljack and Orbital Decay is great because that eventually is probably going to tie into what's going on Cybertron. And then the Gauging the Truth story, I just did not care for at all.
No, I did like Ultra Magnus getting that kind of Gundam armor.
Yeah,
to go over his already armor that he has.
Yep. Very, very cool. Absolutely.
I mean, I could see where this particular story would fit with War for Cybertron.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I absolutely think, you know, overall, there's a lot to enjoy in Volume 3. I just wish IDW would stop including everything in the trades, but then we have to buy it single issue, and it's like, it's almost cheaper to could be or whatever. Sometimes it is. I don't know. Next time we're probably going to do it a little different, folks. Next time we will probably do Declaration of War, which is the title for Volume 4 of this series, which actually doesn't release until June 30th, so we'll get back to Transformers from IDW at some point. But in Volume 4, we have issues 25 to 30, the Valentine's Day Special one-shot, and Transformers Escape 1 to 5. Escape 1 to 5 is another mini-series, kind of like Galaxies was. As far as the overall story for Volume 4 goes, the bold new vision of the Transformers universe continues, filled with diplomatic drama, techno-thriller twists, and giant sentient robots. The Decepticons have officially overthrown the Senate. With the Autobots out of power and Sentinel Prime deposed, it looks like Megatron's vision of the future will take over. But not if the new Prime can rally what's left of the security operations and the Senate Guard into a resistance. Meanwhile, with the Autobots and Decepticons declaring war on each other, a group of Cybertronians' top scientists and diplomats launch a plan to get those uninterested in the fighting, including the alien Aovan, refugees living on Cybertron, a way out of the devastation to come. So, very, very cool. Overall, for the entire collected trade, I would probably give it a 3 out of 5. If I'm rating the individual stories, like kind of what you already did, where we already put it, for a second, third kind of thing, Rise of the Decepticons is my favorite part, as we already said. So that's number one, and then Magnus is number two. The rest of it is just kind of, it's there.
I agree.
I don't know, man. It just, I don't know, and I know some people have said, a couple of the people that are over on Transmissions, Jeremy Dennis and Daryl and Charles, a couple of them have said to me that they weren't that interested in the Brian Ruckley run because in single issues it didn't read right. Well, I hope you guys listen to this, as horrible as this podcast has been, because I'm just the worst podcaster ever, that in trade, this really didn't. The main arcs are fine, but the other stuff in there, it's like, maybe we should just stop at a certain point and not read the other stuff.
Read the best stuff and then keep move on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, ladies and gentlemen, coming up next here in Autobot League April, we're going to be getting to, hopefully, Transformers Beast Wars number 3.
Yay!
And, yay! Actually, Autobot League April this year is kind of short, because some of the Transformers stuff isn't coming until later kind of thing. And I want to, I mentioned this before, I want to do an actual whole crossover month at some point, so all the IDW crossovers. So in episode 409, I'm going to do an Origins episode with somebody, so that's what's going on for the rest of Autobot League April. Coming up in May, we've got Batman, White Knight, Von Freeze, and then Curse of the White Knight, parts 1 and 2, and then more Beast Wars, and then Radiant Black 3 and 4 will also be coming. Plus, I have a special episode for episode 411. So that's what's coming up here inside the pull bag. What do you got going on?
Well, more things on All Things Transformers, and possibly some articles to come on the website, as well as I'm still planning Altered Geek's return. It's just a matter of sitting down and recording it.
Right.
But mostly, you know, Transformers toys.
Very cool. Very cool. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, make your great escape into comics, and we will catch you next time here inside the pull bag.
Human germ!
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pull Bag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.